Welcome to the
Idiot
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. E4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 episode 5?
Five.
Is it already episode 5?
It is.
This is the Nintendo episode. We just got done watching the Nintendo press conference, Nintendo Direct. This is the most on top of one of these we've been. So you're getting our pretty quick reactions. We haven't had a ton of time to let this settle yet, which may be good. There's a lot to talk about here.
There is, but there's not.
Yeah, There's one big thing to talk about. There's one kind of big thing to talk about. And then there's a lot of Nintendo stuff to talk about because that's what Nintendo does. So we will get into all those details. I'll mention you can see from my shirt what I was hoping for. And pretty happy about that. That worked out well.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a shirt of our previous sponsor, Talking.com, because we will accept sponsors.
That's right.
We want other people's money. So if you'd like to sponsor the show, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We will take your money and pretty much say whatever you ask us to say.
For sure. So I've got Metroid on my shirt. I've got Zelda on my hat. Those were the two things that we were really hoping for. And we got to at least a certain degree on both of those. We will get into those. Before we get to those, let's talk about everything else. Just get everything else out of the way so we can spend time with Metroid and Zelda. And so first thing was Super Smash Brothers, which is, I get it, not our thing, but people love Super Smash Brothers.
But let's be honest, yeah, and I keep saying this, and it's the honest truth. If I keep putting it out there, maybe it'll eventually happen. It would totally be our thing if we were sitting in the same room playing games on a regular basis. We'd be playing a lot of Smash.
I don't know that we would, honestly.
You know,
I mean, we'd play it some. I have it. I mean, we need no reason not to play it. But there's just so many other good things to play, too. Like, where does that fit in your hierarchy, you know?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of stuff we would play before Smash.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
If we both were in the same room and had nothing else to do, we'd definitely get to it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that's going to be high on our priorities. It's just, I mean, I know people that love it, and I get it, and that's cool. It's just not the thing that we love. That said, the big news was there's a Tekken tie-in now, and so they're bringing one fighting franchise to another fighting franchise.
Firstly, how did we get to the point where that's big news?
But that's Smash Brothers, right? Every year we get that, like, whatever new thing. And at this point, like, the tie-ins are pretty well exhausted. Like, who else are you bringing? Like, I don't know. Like, what could you bring it to Super Smash Brothers that would surprise us? Tekken seems as
you know relevant what I as anything say, else. This is the most random thing ever. Nobody else would get it. But I would love to see, like, some random folks like Judge Judy or Dr. Phil. that's what you do when you start running out of stuff. You just put random C-list celebrities in there.
Yeah.
That would have made me laugh.
Yeah.
If Phil popped up with his large, shiny, bald head.
Yeah. Apparently, right now, there's somewhere between 70 and 80 playable characters in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's just ridiculous. That's a lot of characters, and they just keep adding them in. Which, again, whatever. That's fine. You keep the game kind of fresh that way. Cool.
I think part of the reason you said that we don't really play Smash is that there's a lot more skill to Smash than what there appears to be. I mean, there's people that literally go to tournaments and make money playing Smash, and it just... We just don't have it.
Yeah, if I'm playing against, like, just dudes that aren't very good and just kind of pushing buttons like I am, that's kind of fun. But as soon as, like, my brothers are into Super Smash Brothers, right? And, like, I play a game with them and they just obliterate me. I'm like, that's not that fun. Like,
no.
I need you to, like, put on some, like, some accessibility thing for me that is, like, halfway fair. Because otherwise I'm just being obliterated. And it's like, whatever.
To be honest, bro, that's my whole life.
Right.
Like, that's my, like...
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Cripple over here. Hands don't work. Yeah.
Yep. So we got that. A couple other Mario things I'll mention since we're on Super Smash Brothers. We got more of Mario Golf, Super Rush, Super Mario Golf, whatever it's called, which comes out next week. That's just around the corner and looks really fun if you're into kind of Mario sports stuff. I love Mario sports games. And so I'm going to buy that one. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one.
I'm not going to say very hard. It's harder to stream on the Switch. But I really would like for you to put some of that Mario stuff up.
For sure.
I feel like that's something I'm vastly going to enjoy.
Yeah, that. And then obviously when we get to the other big things, those are going to be really important too.
Yeah.
And then the other Mario one we got was Mario Party Superstars. I think it's Mario Party Superstars is what it's called, which is a Superstars, like the way that Mario does Superstars games. That's a collection of the previous games that's pulling different maps and different mini games from across the entire series, which is pretty cool. Again, Mario Party is one of those games that when I was young, we played a ton of it because on the N64, especially with four controllers and four people sitting in a room together, it was a really fun game just to play competitively against each other, where you can like reach over and slap somebody's controller out their hand or whatever. With this, you can play it online, and that's cool. One of the features is if you're playing online with friends, you can pause a game and come back to it later, which is a nice feature because it does take, you know, half an hour to get through a game or whatever. You could also play it online against people you don't know, and that's great. It's kind of fun. Mario Party mini games are fun, but you just can't replace Mario Party in a room together. Like, to me, that's how Mario Party should be experienced. And so the Switch hasn't really been that kind of couch co-op or couch competitive system, which really nothing is right now. That's just not a thing that exists like it did when we were younger. Theoretically, you could do that with the Switch and Mario Party, but it's more than likely you're going to be playing with friends not in the same room with you, and there's something about that. It just makes me kind of sad. We hearken back to the days pre-online gaming, where if you wanted to play with another person, you had to be in a room with them.
Do you think that will ever... Do you think that will ever come back around as far as people-wise? Because the reason I bring it up, I wonder if there's older guys out there in Spider-Wise, I'm looking at you, maybe Chad, some of those other people that we know are watching, who grew up that way. And I see, because everything comes back around in this culture, and I wonder if we're a couple of years away from everybody's like, we got all this online stuff, everything's online, and now we're getting back to sitting in a room playing games together, because that stuff comes back around. And I'm wondering if that's ever going to get there, because that's what we've been doing for the last 2 days. This is what we're going to do for two more days. And it really is the most fun that we can have playing games.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a big chunk of it's just circumstance, right? Like, that's the way we played games when we were kids, because your friends were people that lived close to you.
Yeah.
You know, like you may have had friends that didn't live close to you, but especially when we were younger, in the early days of the internet, you had like instant messaging programs or whatever that you could talk to people, but there wasn't video chat. There was barely voice chat, you know, like Skype kind of came around when we were maybe high school to college age. And so like you didn't have a way to really easily interact with people that you knew, unless they were people that lived close to you in proximity. But of course, as we've grown up, all the people I used to play games with don't live anywhere close to me in proximity. You don't live close to me. The friends I had in high school don't live close to me. And so the people that I am interested in playing games with, especially nostalgically, I can't get in a room with easily. If I come here, we can do this for a couple of days, but it's not something we're just doing on a weekend. Like, hey, Saturday night, like everybody get together, let's play some games. I know there's people that do that. It's not universal, but I think it's just simply an easier thing to do when you're young. And I don't know that the youngins, the Gen Zers or whatever, like 12-year-olds are called at this point, I don't know that I have much interest in that idea. They've never done it, right? Like, there's never in their lives been this idea of like four controllers in a room together. They play Fortnite and that's all online, and they play with their friends from school. You know, it's not like it's different that it's not the people, and they may even be playing in the same room, everybody on their own Switch or whatever, but it's not the same kind of shared experience. And so I don't know that it ever comes back, because the people it makes most sense for aren't nostalgic for it. The people who are nostalgic for it, probably it's not that practical. You know, like I think if we all lived close to each other, we probably would do that, but it's just not practical.
And in my case, especially, I'm not going to speak to you because I don't know, but most of the people that I used to play games with don't play anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if I called somebody and told them what we were doing this week, they'd go, "What? Really?"
Right.
They don't feel like they have time.
Yeah.
And I don't... I can't really see us getting that way, because I have to have this to stay sane. I get frustrated. I said something to the effect last night of, you know, we've had the regular struggles with technology that we have. And we played games last night, which was fabulous. We'll talk about that later. Tried to string it. It looks awful. And we apologize. And it's a struggle. And so when we have issues like that, I think we should not do this show and just play a game, because we're not very good at it. And then we see something, and it's like, okay, yeah, we have to tell people about that because we're jazzed.
Right.
And by the end of our play session last night, like, I was like, okay, we gotta talk about this because it's a huge deal. But I have that feeling, and I don't really feel like either one of us is ever gonna lose it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I'll speak to like the guys I grew up with. None of them care about Nintendo anymore specifically. Like, we played Nintendo games together all the time when we were young, right?
Yeah.
But none of them have played Breath of the Wild. And we played Zelda together. Right. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, guys, this is like one of the best games ever. Like, it's maybe.
Like, you want to drag them into a room.
I know.
And just be like, here.
One of my buddies I grew up with, you know, we played Zelda together, like very specifically. It's like, the Switch just seems so kiddie to me. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Zelda. Like, it's fantastic. Like,
I mean, look, I'm 42 years old and you're what, 38?
Been a month.
I can't ever envision putting it down. And granted, 80% of that has to do with you. If we ever get to a point where we're not doing this and you're not around, yeah, it might change. I might put it down. But I don't ever see that happening.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you there. So all that said, let's go through a couple of the other somewhat notable things. Nintendo things, very Nintendo stuff. We got a few titles that I'm not as familiar with, that I would imagine a Japanese audience is more familiar with, but maybe other Western gamers know. One being Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Yeah.
Who knew there were four more of those?
Well, I think we did.
Right. I mean, we've heard of it.
It's one of those things that just sort of, like, you forget it from year to year and go, holy crap, there's six of those?
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Dragon Ball Z is a huge deal. That obviously has a huge Western audience as well. That's not something that's just Japanese. And it's something I was into when I was younger. We talked about this before, but just not anymore. I couldn't tell you much about the lore of Dragon Ball. And so it's cool and people are going to eat it up. It's just not really our thing. There was, I'll mention WarioWare here. Just, we were on the kind of Nintendo first party stuff. They did announce a new WarioWare game that's called Get It Together. It's, if you remember, WarioWare to me was always that game on like the original DS. It was just like stupid fun. Like, it's these ridiculous micro games. They're not even mini games, they're micro games. They take like 5 seconds. And you've got to do something totally obscure. And I loved them because the DS being this portable device, you could just like take it into some place and like you're sitting and waiting for like an appointment somewhere. And you just pull it out and you play this game for 5 minutes. And it's like rewarding because it's that just quick action stuff that happens. You're not doing anything particularly. And then you move on. It makes total sense on the Switch. It doesn't seem like something I'd ever play as a console, quote unquote console game, but in handheld mode on the Switch. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with WarioWare.
And you know, it's something that, like you said, the reason it works is you never know what you're going to get from little minigame to little minigame. Some of it's really weird.
Yes.
And you come across
super
one,
weird.
You come across one and you're like, wow, that was really cool. Yeah. And it just made me smile. And now I'm going with my day or appointment or whatever it is
right.
I'm doing.
Yeah. We also got Super Monkey Ball. If you remember Super Monkey Ball from back in the day, this is it's called Banana Mania, which, okay, it wasn't ever really my thing. But it's one of those things. It's kind of stupid fun, too.
So why do we see more Super Monkey Ball than we do Donkey Kong?
That's a good question.
Because Super Monkey Ball happens every other year. They're like, hey, here's a new Super Monkey Ball, and it looks basically like the last Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of gameplay, and I'm like, okay, it's cool. Can I get some Donkey Kong, please?
Yeah. And if we were, you know, if we were into it, maybe that would change our minds a little bit. I'm not into it. Doesn't really care. No. One more I'll mention here. Advance Wars, cool tactical kind of military game, because it's like tanks and rocket launchers and infantry and that kind of stuff, but really cartoony and silly, not serious military game. But from back in the day, is being remastered, remade, really, that they're doing a one and two kind of thing with it, of bringing back that series, which looks like a lot of fun to play. And my Twitter, at least, was super geeked about it because there is some nostalgia there. Nintendo does nothing else if they don't do nostalgia well. And so,
yeah,
good on them there. A couple of games that we've talked about already this week that are coming to Switch. Confirmed Guardians of the Galaxy from Square is coming to Switch, which, cool. Not where I'm going to play it. But cool. You know, they showed a little bit of Doom Eternal, the season pass stuff coming to Switch. And we're like, why are you playing Doom on a Switch? I guess if that's the only place you have to play Doom, by all means. But the Life is Strange, both the remastered and the new one are coming to the Switch as well, which those games make perfect sense on the Switch.
Yep.
And if you haven't played those and have a Switch, that's a good place to do that.
Can we talk about formulas for a second? Because Life is Strange has hit on the most amazing formula in that it doesn't matter where you're at, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you can see 10 seconds of a trailer, not see a single person, yeah. You can just see the way it's done. You're like, yep, that's Life is Strange.
Yeah.
And that's how that was. Like, it went for 30 seconds, and I'm like, yep, this is Life is Strange.
And then we thought it wasn't, because it was like cartoony, like hand drawn.
Yeah.
And then it went to the Life is Strange stuff. Like, it was a weird little teaser. But yeah, you're absolutely right that like just the vibe and the feel of Life is Strange is so kind of embedded in us now that you're like, oh yeah,
yep.
There it is.
Yep.
Yep. They have made that a thing, which is really impressive. So good for them. So there were a few more things we're not going to get into, so we can talk about the two big things. And so we'll go kind of reverse order here. We'll talk Zelda first, a couple of announcements about Zelda. And then we'll talk Metroid. And so with Zelda, the first one thing that we saw that we were like, oh no, they're not going to give us anything cool, was season pass stuff for Hyrule Warriors, which is fine. I tried. Everybody knows my love of Breath of the Wild. We just talked about it. Hyrule Warriors just didn't do it for me. Like, I love the gameplay of Breath of the Wild as much as I love the world, and I love the world a ton too. But the gameplay is an important part of that, the exploration thing, which isn't what you do in Hyrule Warriors, since that just doesn't do it for me. So whatever, if you like it, cool. Not my thing. So we saw that. And then this is the 35th anniversary of Zelda. Of course, Nintendo did this whole thing last year about the 35th anniversary of Mario, where we got like some random Mario games. We got this Mario Battle Royale. They released the Mario game on Switch and on and on. And they kind of made a big deal of it. They came out here and said very specifically, this is the 35th anniversary of Zelda, and we're not really doing anything big for it. Don't expect a new Switch game or anything like that. But we are going to give you a new console, a Game & Watch with the original Zelda, Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, and the Game Boy version of Link's Awakening. So, of course, we have the remade version of Link's Awakening. That's fantastic. That's not what you're going to get on the Game & Watch, because it's a Game & Watch. So you're going to get the original version of Link's Awakening, which is great in its own right. And then on top of all that, it's also some like old Game & Watch varmints or something like that. I forget what it's called. But it's like a whack-a-mole, but like now Link is the player character in it. But it's like old school Game & Watch, like black and white line graphics things. I as a Zelda fan, want one just because I think it's kind of cool and having
and this see, tiny that little... right there is why they'll make a $1 million.
That's right. It's brilliant. And it's the thing that only Nintendo can do. Like nobody else could come out and say, here is a like 2-inch wide handheld with 4 games on it that you're going to pay me for and you're going to like it. But Nintendo can do that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You got me.
Do we actually know anybody that owns the mini PlayStation that came out a couple years ago? Because that's a perfect example.
It is.
They tried it, and then nobody cared.
Yeah. But the nostalgia of the mini NES or the mini Sega, both of those kind of took off. Those were big deals because of that different nostalgia factor. So we got that. So a little bit of Zelda news. And then their kind of one last thing that they did was Breath of the Wild 2. And so obviously we know this exists. They announced it 2 years ago. We don't have much more. They have a new teaser. No gameplay, nothing like that. You can probably assume how it's going to play. I don't think there's going to be any huge surprises on the gameplay. They're going to change mechanics a little bit and add new things here or there. But the big new thing that we found out about it is that much like Skyward Sword, which is also coming out, the remake or remaster of that pretty soon, this new Breath of the Wild is going to have a significant portion of the map, apparently, that's going to be floating above Hyrule. And there's a lot of kind of traversal in the sky of getting around. It looks like the map for Breath of the Wild 2. And so the assumption is that the Hyrule map of Breath of the Wild, given that this is a sequel, will probably be pretty similar. You can't change it too much. You can change it some. Things happen. But by adding a kind of layer on top of it, that's how they're going to expand the map, as opposed to going outward and expanding to different like areas around Hyrule or whatever.
You know what I would love, which they won't do, but I would love for it to be a situation where you migrate your saves, it has all your towers that you've unlocked, all your stuff, and you migrate in, and it says, okay, here you are, and here's all the stuff that you know and you did, and we're going to make you go back and do some things, and then we got this stuff in the sky.
Yes.
I would be interested in that. What I don't want to do, and I'm curious about you, what I don't want to do is have to reopen a lot of the ground map stuff.
Sure.
We already did that.
Yes and no. So my thing with that is the best part of Breath of the Wild was just exploring the world, right? Like that's the thing that's the most fun. And if you start with parts of the world unlock, if you have fast travel already available to you, that kind of stuff, that takes away a chunk of what you did.
I'm agreed, but I'm saying is the ground for me to get that exploration thing, the ground map has to be different.
That's the thing. Yep, and that's exactly where I was going too. Is you've got to figure out a way that whatever has happened, whatever has transpired between the first game and the second game, has changed the world enough that it gives you a reason to go re-explore.
Right.
Now, to be candid, I haven't gone back to Breath of the Wild in 3 years.
Yeah.
And this isn't coming out for another year. We'll talk about that in just a second.
More years.
But by the time I get back to it, it's going to be a long time since I've been in that version of Hyrule. I may be ready to go back and just re-explore it in a similar way and go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this. Oh, I don't remember this. Did they add this? Or is this just a hole in my memory or whatever? So either way, it's going to be a lot of what we did before, plus floating island sky thing now, which is cool. And then the release year the release window is 2022, and they were very specific to say this is the goal we're working towards, is release 2022. So Starfield, I'll be really, really surprised if it gets anywhere close to next year.
I'm thinking 2022 at the very end.
Yeah, it could be a holiday title.
Early 2023.
I think that's more likely. And that would be what, the 5 year? Would that be 5 or 6 years after the first game came out?
I think 5 years.
Because March of 2017. So yeah, March of 2022 would be 5 years. So they're not doing that. And so maybe 6 years after the original, it'd be ballpark there, whatever it is. It's one of those games, so give it to me when it's ready. Don't rush that game.
No.
Make sure it is really good. Because as much as I adore Breath of the Wild, there are issues with it. The dungeons weren't that great. The shrines were amazing, the best part of that game, outside of the world itself. Gameplay-wise, shrines were amazing. Dungeons were pretty subpar. Boss fights weren't as great as Zelda Pass has been. And so if you can improve those things, take the time to improve those things, make those really good, keep the formula that works so well with the benefits of kind of new stuff, and I'll be happy.
Let's talk about one thing with Nintendo real quick, which is they make some stuff that you may not like, you may not be into. We talked about all that earlier. But the thing that Nintendo has done, at least so far, is that they don't put out a game that's not done, that's not polished. You're not going to get something with cyberpunk issues or something like that from Nintendo, which I really appreciate.
Yes.
You may not like a lot of the software that they put out, but if they put it out, it's ready.
Yes.
And so
that's 100% true, especially the first party stuff or Nintendo published stuff. They're very protective of their brand. They're not going to let crap get out there. Again, maybe stuff that you think is stupid, but it's stupid stuff that's well put together.
Right.
Like, it's just, yeah, very right. And even like something like where they hand over, because this is happening more and more, when they hand over one of their franchises to a different developer, something like doing Hyrule Warriors, or even to a certain degree, Mario plus Rabbids with Ubisoft, this kind of a joint venture there. They're still really protective to make sure that their characters, their IPs are really well and accurately represented in a way that fans of the first party stuff are going to go, yeah, this is, you know, whoever, Mario, Zelda, Link, whatever. Like, this makes sense. This fits in the world of Nintendo, even if it's not exactly the same. So Nintendo does a great job of that.
Yeah.
There's been exceptions. It's not been 100%, but they're much better about that than basically anybody else is. So that said, we'll talk about the other big announcement that kind of happened right in the middle. it could have been the one last thing, would have been amazing, but they did it kind of right in the middle, which was fascinating, which is Metroid. And so two things on Metroid. The first, they talked very briefly about Metroid Prime 4. This is not Metroid Prime 4 that we're about to talk about, because all they told us is it's still in development.
And
it's
happening. Can I say, when I saw that, I thought that was all we were going to get.
I did too.
Okay, we're doing Metroid Prime 4. And then...
We got, however, there is a whole new Metroid game coming to Switch this year. October 8th is the release on this. And so this is soon, which is great. 2D side-scrolling modern Metroid, which is better to me than Metroid Prime 4. Like, yes. I want Metroid Prime 4, and I'm pumped about Metroid Prime 4. But this right here, Super Metroid, that I have on my chest, is my favorite Metroid game, one of my top 3-5 games of all time. That 2D side-scrolling Metroidvania thing, right? But the original thing, the Metroid thing, is the thing I most love, and this is a new game that does that.
Remember yesterday when I talked about getting excited and if I could walk? I'd get up and that's kind of how I felt with that.
Yes.
It's like, hey, look, we're different than most people. We understand that. But I can't think of a better use of a Switch than a 2D Metroid.
Yeah.
And it's a fancy looking 2D Metroid. Yes. We ain't talking about something that's cheaply made.
It makes you wonder when the Switch Pro is coming.
Which that's something that we need to discuss. Because
we didn't get that.
Because we're pointing at these different titles like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And we're pointing at Metroid going, that I don't think that's gonna run on the Switch. To be fair, Metroid the 2D will probably run on the Switch. Yeah. I don't think there's anything really taxing with a 2D Metroid that this current Switch can't do.
Right.
Some of the stuff that we saw, a couple of these titles, like, Life is Strange, I'm not sure.
The new one, yeah. But it's the thing that Nintendo does really well is that for the most part, they do a lot of stylized games, right? They're not doing Battlefield. Now, Doom Eternal runs on Switch, which is impressive in its own right. Again, not the place I'm ever going to play Doom Eternal. But if you have to, you can. So it can do stuff. But the little visual details, it's hard to imagine those working on the current Switch. Not that you can't put the game on there, period, but you can't put the game on there with all the fidelity that we're seeing in front of us. Metroid had enough of those little details. So I'm really curious that this October 8th date, are they planning to coincide the release of the Switch Pro alongside this? Are they going to offer you a free upgrade if you buy this? Are they going to expect you to wait? I don't know that there's even going to be an update needed. The idea is that the Switch Pro is going to be higher resolution, that kind of stuff, but not necessarily a different game. It's not like a different generation. And so maybe the same cartridge or download honestly works on either one. It's just going to adjust the resolution, that kind of stuff.
Okay, depending
on which one you're playing on. Whatever. That obviously is going to be better on the Switch Pro.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I feel like if you're going to do a coinciding release, you need to say something about it right now. I think the fact that they didn't say anything is interesting in the fact that we've made it all the way through E3. I mean, this is it. It's going to be dead the rest of the day. It's going to be dead tomorrow. And we've heard nothing about the... I mean, we know it's coming. We know they're building it. But we've heard nothing about, hey, there's Switch Pro out there, and here's what the date might be. That tells me we might not see it for a while. Or because they're Nintendo, they're weird about this stuff, and they don't take new hardware as seriously as everybody else. I could see it being something where we don't hear a word about it. And then come December at Christmas, they're like, oh, yeah, we got this other thing, and it makes everything look better. But you don't really need it. If you want it, here it is. We'll sell it to you.
Which is what they've done with every recent console, or handheld at least, that they've had, right? We did the DS. We did the DS, new DS, whatever. I don't remember what all the new 3DS, the new 3DS, 2D, whatever. You know, like, it just gets so ridiculous and convoluted, but they do these kind of incremental upgrades. And there's no reason to expect it wouldn't look like that. We're just so anxious about it because the Switch is different. It's not a handheld exclusively because it's also a dockable console that you can play on a 4K screen that brings in a whole new thing. I wouldn't be shocked if they did like a July Nintendo Direct to announce it, though. They're like, everything's dead. We'll have all of the air to ourselves. And so let's make this a big deal right here in the middle of the summer and push for that fall release date or whatever, get people excited about it.
But let's talk about 4K for a second, because we have experienced 4K this weekend for the first time ever. That's awful. 40 years old. I'm 42 years old. We're both in technology. And this is the first time we've experienced 4K. Based on what we've seen, and we'll talk more about that later, I don't think you can do portable 4K. So if the new Switch does 4K, it's going to be on the dock only.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's physically possible to do 4K on a screen that small, right? Like, you have to have a certain size just to get that resolution to work pixel-wise. Yeah. And so, yeah, you won't have it in your hands 4K. You'll have it pretty in your hands. It'll look better. But yeah, it's going to be a dockable thing. But I want to play. I mean, having Metroid in my hand is one that's actually going to work well in a handheld format as well as on the screen. But like Zelda, I don't have much interest in playing that in a handheld mode. You know, like that world is so big. Like just camera angle, right? Like the wider the camera angle is, the bigger the screen you need. Like Metroid is all about being more up close, the side-scrolling thing. The screen moves with you, and so you don't have to have this big wide camera angle to make sense of it. Breath of the Wild, that doesn't make any sense at all. No. Trying to break Breath of the Wild on that screen is just, it's workable. Many people did it. It's fine. I played Breath of the Wild some on the screen. It's fine, but it's way better experience on a larger screen. And you just,
They talked multiple times. I kept notice this. They talked multiple times about stuff being upgraded to 1080p. And it's great to finally see Metroid in 1080p and this and that.
In HD.
I mean, they did that multiple times. So, Chad, I know you're listening. I know you're watching. I know you want us to get really excited about 4K. And we are. It's really cool. But the vast majority of content, 4K is not necessary.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that are killer apps for 4K. We'll talk about one of those ad nauseum on one of these shows coming up. But 4K's not there yet. I don't care what anybody says.
But and Metroid's not that thing. It doesn't need that level of resolution.
Right.
But there's plenty of, I mean, it's gorgeous. It looks fantastic. So getting back to Metroid really quickly, because we haven't mentioned the name of it. It's called Metroid Dread. They tease it as Metroid 5, which made me try to do the math. And so I think it's the original, Metroid 2 on the Game Boy, Super Metroid, Metroid Fusion is number 4, and then this is number 5, which, going back through it, that's excluding Other M, which I think they kind of just wish didn't exist at this point. Other M was weird. It was kind of 2D, but they're not considering it a 2D in this conversation because they're saying this is the first 2D Metroid game in 19 years.
Yep.
That Fusion, I guess, came out 19 years ago, which blows my mind that that game came out that long ago because it doesn't feel that old to me. But that's been the last time that a true 2D Metroid came out. And so this is Metroid 5, but the official name of it is Metroid Dread, which is actually a name that's been out there for 15 years. Because the first time they started working on this game was 15 years ago. I think we might have talked about it early on the show using that name, Metroid Dread. And then it disappeared. They stopped development on it. They picked it back up some years later, stopped again, and then obviously picked it back up again. And now we're finally getting it. Because the thing that they said that we heard with Bethesda and Todd Howard is, we finally have the technology to do what we want to do. And it's like, yes and no. You could have always made a Metroid game on the technology, obviously. But I'm glad you're making it work on this one. I'm perfectly fine with it happening now. I would rather it happen now than a few years from now. I'm pumped about the timing of it. So as far as the gameplay goes, it's Metroid. If you've played 2D Metroid, it is very similar to that. It's all the same exploration, power-ups, that kind of stuff. Platforming, bosses, on and on and on. The new kind of elements, they've of course got new power-ups and that kind of stuff that you're going to do. The new big thing they're talking about is this new type of enemy, which is called an IMMI, E-M-M-I. It stands for something. I don't know what it stands for, but it's an acronym for something. But there's these robots that you can't kill or can't kill easily. You have to have kind of special weapons to kill them that stalk you in these certain areas of the game, which is the kind of Dread part of Metroid Dread. Metroid does a really good job of this. Metroid Fusion did this insanely well with the kind of altered Samus thing that was chasing you throughout the whole game and was terrifying. That's kind of what it feels like here that they're trying to recreate with that.
And it made me smile because these characters are essentially Horizon Watchers.
Very much feels
like,
that way.
Like, it's like Nintendo's like, oh, that's cool, we'll steal that.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they look like. It's what they act like. It's really interesting.
Yeah, they hear you and they see you. And so very much like Horizon, it does kind of have that same feel. But if you're like in one of the platforming levels and you jump, they can hear you from across the room and come looking for you. And then if they see you, they start chasing you. The only ones we saw was one that was kind of broken down. So they beat it pretty easily. It wasn't too scary. But then the kind of next one, it showed just a little bit of gameplay from the beginning of the game. The next one was like fast and after you, and there's nothing you could do at that point in the game to kill it. Except all you could do is run, which is a brilliant thing that Metroid does. It puts you in situations where you just have to run. And it really is, even on a two-dimensional game like that, it really is this kind of adrenaline-pushing thing that it gets you, like, shaky and like, your hands are at when you get out of the room. You're like, okay, I made it or whatever, you know? Like, it's a cool thing that Metroid does well.
I got to kick it out of it because we think they did the treehouse thing afterward. Somebody was actually playing it. We think this person was playing it twice, playing it live because she died twice.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh because she ran through two save rooms.
You're right.
Because they had, you know, I'm sure they only had a certain amount of time. We got to move or whatever. She's like, I'm doing good. I don't need to save. And I'm like, yeah, that'll never be us.
Yeah. I will save it every save room every time in a Metroid game. I've played enough Metroid to know better than that. But it does have this thing, which is kind of cool. If you've played Metroid in the past and have been frustrated by having to go all the way back to a save, this is one of those, this is a conversation for another day, but I'll bring it up here just a little bit. One of those modern conveniences things. And so when we were young and you played a game like Metroid, it may have been an hour since the last time you saved. Yep. And then you died and you're like, well, that sucks. Let's do it again. You know, you just kind of like took that for granted. That's just not how games work today. You like if we were playing Ratchet and Clank earlier, and you were like, is there a checkpoint? I'm like, there's not even really checkpoints anymore, right? Like, that's just not like, of course there is, there's a checkpoint that, like, you know, like the game is going to restore to that point if it gets shut off or whatever, but they happen so often that just like every 2 minutes or whatever, like you're always auto-saved. It's just very strange to even like the concept of a game that like would not just respawn you at the room that you're already in. And one of the things that they did to kind of make it a little bit more modern convenience is you have these areas. Now, it's not just a single room. There's several rooms in these areas, but you have these areas on the map where these enemies are located that are one-hit kills. You only can run away from them, and if they catch you, they kill you. That it respawns you right outside that room as opposed to at the previous save point if they kill you, which is to be a really nice little convenience.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't want to run through a bunch of the map just to get back to where I was if I'm trying to figure out the pattern of this enemy. Like, that's just obnoxious to me at 38 years old. Like, make my life a little easier.
And the thing about making it easier is that despite that convenience, you know, especially us being who we are, you're going to spend more time going through Metroid and going through the nooks and crannies. You'll put more hours into this than you will anything else. I'm guessing this is a 25-hour title.
That would be.
I
doubt that.
You think?
Metroid is 10 hours tops.
Well, I mean, we haven't played one in...
Right. Maybe they've expanded at this point. But any Metroidvania, too. Like, just... Yeah, I can't imagine them making a game that size. I hope it's big. I want to spend time with it. But I don't want it to be 25 hours.
It's not going to be much bigger than that. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe. But that seems huge to me for a Metroid. If it's... No, not even Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime probably won't be that size either. But definitely a 2D side-scrolling Metroid. But point being made, this is a game where you want to find the secrets, where you want to find the hidden rooms, where you want to find all those cool little things that the developers put in, because they do that with Metroid games. They put in these really cool, interesting little areas of the map that you have to be really deliberate to find and are really rewarding. And if you don't find them, like, you wouldn't know you're missing them. But then you go, like, watch on YouTube or whatever and see, like, all this stuff. You're like, oh, man, that looks really cool. I wish I would have found that. That's part of the Metroid experience, is really looking for those secrets. And so, yeah, I will personally spend tons of time doing that, you know, shooting blasters at the wall. Another ease of convenience thing that they're doing on this is that on the map, it will flash if there's something secret there.
Yep.
Which is new, too. Like, in the past with Metroid, it just hoped that you would find it. You know, it made it hard for you. Yeah. This is making it a little bit easier for you. Okay, I'm not telling you where it is, but I'm telling you there's something here. And you may not even be able to access it yet. One of the things, it's the same developer that did the original Metroid remake, and now it's Samus, not Samus Returns, but Return of Samus, remember. I think, or something like that. It was very similar to Samus Returns. Anyway, this came out 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was fantastic. Just a remake of the original. Just great, great, great title. But they added in some new features in that game that obviously weren't in the original NES. One of those is that you have pins that you could drop on the map. And so you have like 5 or 6 different pins. And so if you find a room that you know there's a secret in and you don't have the power up to get to it yet, you could drop a pin there just so you remember, like when you're looking at the map, oh yeah, I wanted to go back there and check that out. So after you play for 2 or 3 more hours, you get 2 or 3 new power-ups. You can go back and see, now can I find that thing that was here? And on the way, you find other stuff or whatever. There's lots of those little things that are really, really nice. They're keeping the slide. They did that with the remake. They're keeping the little melee counter thing and upgrading that. The free aim, this is, if you've ever played Super Metroid, you have to hit the shoulder buttons to aim up and down, and it's a pain. This gives you full analog stick control over where you're aiming and on the run. It's just, yeah, stuff like that's going to make the game just play so much better.
It's insane that they spent 45 seconds on the fact that it has free aim.
Right?
Everything has free aim.
Every one of these Metroidvania games has come out since the last Metroid. Because really, like, Metroidvania wasn't even a thing outside of Metroid and Castlevania when Metroid Fusion came out, right? Like, there weren't a lot of other games in that genre. And now that's a whole genre unto itself. It's almost... like, it's kind of weird to think of a 2D side-scrolling Metroid that falls in the Metroidvania category genre of games that's going to be competing against other Metroidvanias. You know, like, can Metroid still do a Metroidvania game as well as all these other new developers that do similar games? I think it will be. It looks like it will be, but that's kind of yet to be seen.
The other thing that they said was that I caught that they kind of slid in there is that this will apparently wrap the story with Samus and the Metroids. And I don't like when they said that. Like, my heart kind of stopped. Yeah. Because if you're not dealing with the Metroids in some form or fashion, there's no more Metroid.
Right.
I mean, that's the point. It's about Metroids.
It insinuates one of two things, right? Like, either something happens to the Metroids and there's no longer Metroids, or something happens to Samus and there's no longer Samus. Like, this may be the game where Samus dies. And I don't know how you do a Metroid game without Samus, right? You're not bringing in a new character. Like, it has to be Samus. Now, granted, they haven't made a new game in almost 20 years, a 2D game in almost 20 years. So they could do something else feasibly, but I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting. I'm excited about that.
And it was like, wait, what?
And it
Back
was,
up! Whoa!
Yeah, it was so in passing. Like, oh yeah, of course. This is the last one. Samus and Metroids. That was the specific phrasing. Is this is the end of the journey between Samus and the Metroids or whatever it is. It's like, wait a minute. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and they just get right over it.
Just like, kept on going. Like, thanks, guys. Real curious about what you mean there. But we'll find out, apparently. So, that was Nintendo. And for me personally, this is now my most exciting game of the show. There's nothing else that I've seen personally that I'm as excited about as I am New Metroid.
It's not close.
And I think Nintendo's just so weird. They do their own thing. It's so different than what Xbox Bethesda was. But all things considered, I mean, I think Nintendo showed up at least as well as we could have hoped. They had a little disclaimer right before the thing started about COVID, and because of COVID, you know, we're behind on things, blah, blah, blah. Release dates are subject to change kind of stuff, and we get all that. But still, Nintendo showed up and showed, you know, some good stuff. A really, really great announcement with the Metroid Dread gave us a more teaser of Breath of the Wild 2, and then a bunch of kind of fan service stuff with Super Smash Brothers or Mario Golf or some of these other titles that we don't know nearly as well. So I think overall, Nintendo did exactly what they do every year, and it's always pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints out of all the stuff we've seen. I've had complaints about everything. We got what we wanted out of this. We got Zelda, we got Metroid. We didn't get as much Zelda as we wanted. We probably could have stood for some more Metroid.
Yes.
But we got it.
Yes.
And that, I think, is a huge deal.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me... It goes to that whole... Japanese work ethic, 80-hour weeks kind of thing, because they had the same issues that everybody else has had.
Sure.
And we're going to see Metroid in, you know, October.
Yeah.
And so I just,
which, to be fair, they've obviously been sitting on that. You know, like they've had that in the works for a while and we're ready to really surprise people with that one. So, which is great. I mean, that's honestly from just like entertain us E3 standpoint. You know, that's what we want. We want to be surprised. We want things like this to happen. And we really hadn't had anything like this happen yet this in E3. There wasn't a big announcement of a beloved franchise or something like that. There's been a couple of new IPs announced. There was Avatar. Do you remember that one? Ubisoft ended their show with Avatar?
Yeah.
My goodness, that was terrible. This is what we want from E3, right? Nintendo knows that. So they've just been sitting on it, waiting to give us that and get all the publicity that they're going to get for the rest of the day because everybody's in love with it. So, well done.
If they did a really nice job. We like it. I also appreciate the fact that there wasn't a lot of go here and check this thing out. We were talking about the virtual show for this morning, which supposedly exists, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
that'll be a good topic for the rap show of how just terrible the E3 portal is.
And so I'm glad that they didn't say, go here and check out this. Yeah. We have these 8 zillion demos, whatever. They just gave us what they had and they went on.
Yeah, and several of these things are releasing this year, which is crazy, which is great. Good stuff coming from Nintendo soon. Something that right now, looking forward, both Sony and Microsoft are in a bit of a lull here. There's not big stuff coming from either one of them in the near future that I can think of. I may be missing something obvious, but off the top of my head, I can't think of anything on the level of a Metroid that either one of them is doing soon. They're relying heavily on third party stuff and that kind of stuff and sustaining, you know, what they have. To be fair, Sony just put out Ratchet and Clank last week. So they have an IP that's theirs, that's fresh, that's this gen, I almost said next gen, but that is current gen, that is PS5 centric. That's great, but they don't have anything else. They don't have anything that I'm thinking of in the works that's coming soon. Nintendo's like, we do what we do, and here's Mario Party, here's Mario Golf, here's Metroid, here's, you know, these things that you come to know and love, why you own a Switch, we're giving them to you on a pretty regular basis.
And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
We need all the Nintendo games we can get, so I'm good with that.
Now I got to finish Mario 3D World, because I haven't finished it yet.
Really?
A billion games we need to spend some time with. That's another one that's worth spending some time with, because it's great. I got to finish that. I got to pick up Mario Golf. Got to pick up Metroid. You know, like, now I'm, like, looking down my, like, play line, like, oh, my, I got to play my Switch more, because I got to catch up with all this stuff.
Yeah,
because I got so much stuff, like, backlog coming up on the Switch.
We had an idea of what was coming next, and you know, we still need to get back to The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
And then we see this, and the Nintendo's like, nope, been playing Switch for a while, so
which is what you want, right? You want these publishers, these hardware manufacturers, to convince you that you need to be playing their games on their software or on their hardware. And Nintendo did that, which Microsoft is getting closer with the Bethesda stuff. They're going to get me, but they're going to get me on PC. And that's the thing with Microsoft that's really kind of brilliant, is that they could get me on PC and I'm happy with that and they're happy with that. Everybody wins. But Nintendo can't, and Nintendo's doing this and I'm there.
Can I go back to what you said 30 seconds ago, which was that Sony released Ratchet and Clank last week and it's great. Let me reiterate that. We'll talk more about that later. I'm not going to do that here other than to tell you that it's not great. it's banging. Like, it's really good. Yeah. Like, we can't figure out how this is an 85 or whatever it is on the Metacritic score, because it's really good. If you own a PlayStation 5, you need to go get it right now. I don't care what it costs. Go get it. But I will say that if you you can wait on it a bit if you don't have a 4K screen, because 4K makes all the difference in the world. We'll talk more about that later. But we do have good stuff right now that's out there that I think a lot of people have slept on, because we're for the next, what, we got 36 hours left? Like, for the next 36 hours, we're parked in front of one or two games, okay?
Yeah.
And
we'll talk to you about them, because we have gotten a chance to play a few different things. But the thing we're going to be spending a lot of time with is Ratchet and Clank, without a doubt. That's going to dominate our time. And I love that Sony doesn't show up for E3, has really relatively little presence at E3. There's games that are coming out on PlayStation, so in the third party stuff, especially PlayStation 5 pops up here and there. But they just put out the best game of the summer, maybe a week before E3 or 2 days before E3 starts. Yeah. And it's just like, our presence is our really great software.
Yeah.
You know, like, and what you're doing while you're not watching E3 is you're playing Ratchet and Clank.
And I really, like, seriously, we cannot understate how good it is.
It's really good.
So we'll talk about that more later, because you're going to get an hour just on that. they're in really good shape. Nintendo's in really good shape. We're really happy about all that we saw there. I am still expecting, like you said, later in the year, I'm expecting a few surprises, whether it's new hardware or some games that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
I think that's coming.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy about Nintendo and the fact that we own a Switch. And I mean, the Switch is the only console that, like, we have a Switch that you carry around, but I have a Switch dock in my house for if somebody brings the Switch. Like, that's specifically why I have that. Like, if somebody brings a Switch in my house, hey, look, I got a dock.
Yeah.
Like, that is when you know you've got a fairly dominant console.
Yeah.
I don't even own one, and I went and bought a dock.
Right.
So, they're in a great space.
Yes.
They really are.
Absolutely.
With that said, we're going to go play some games. We're going to eat some stuff that we probably don't need to eat. And we'll be back in a couple of hours, probably in better moods for various reasons. But we'll be back in a couple of hours with some stuff. And we're glad to be here. We hope you are too. You know where all the stuff's at. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can call us on the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, email is gamingonsister@gmail.com. We want a sponsor. If you want to sponsor this show, email us, and we will take your money.
Yes.
gamingonsister@gmail.com. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming on Sisters continuing coverage of E3 2021. It's E4 Games Explained by Two Idiots, and it's only on GamingOnSisters.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.